Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural. This is Anne Fox in Denmark. Did you know that if you are a student in a European university, you're able to take part in an intensive seminar with students and lecturers from all over the EU? We'll be hearing from some students who took part in one such seminar in Lithuania earlier this year. But first, a few announcements. Did you follow Carsten Knese on Twitter last month? Carsten took over the I Am Germany Twitter account for a week early in October. One thing I learned about was the German work canteens, which are open to the public. So what do you think of this as a way of representing a country? You can add your comments to our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com or on our Facebook page. Talking of which, thank you to Anne, Vianne, Sammy, Catherine and Roman, who are the latest to have liked us there. So in May, about 35 students and lecturers from all over Europe gathered together in Lithuania to work together for 2 weeks on an intensive seminar about entrepreneurship. The topics explored included marketing, intercultural differences, digital communication, coaching and critical thinking. Critical thinking not only has an application to entrepreneurs, but is also an important skill for students who've been taught in quite a different way across the world. So I talked first to Serge Kukpaki from Edinburgh University, which attracts many international students each year, about why he teaches a course on critical thinking and the effect on his foreign students.
I always say to them, you can't change China, but you can change a few people around you. So maybe it's possible, and you can't change India.
Then I talked to three of the students Serge brought with him to participate in the RECEIVE project. They came from China, Thailand and Tanzania, and I tried to find out what they thought of bringing a diverse group together to create joint products. But let's hear first from Serge about his critical thinking course and the effect it has on his students who come largely from abroad.
My name is Serge Kupaki. I'm a lecturer in strategic management at Edinburgh University, where I teach masters in the management of education and a master's in education leadership. The subject of critical thinking is important to us because we have an international recruitment strategy, and we recruit students from different backgrounds, mainly from China. Initially, I think we had also a lot of European students, but more and more we are moving to Eastern country to recruit students. And the education system in those countries are not based necessary, I would say. I mean, I'll put some caveats, but in general, we do note that students found it very difficult to engage with academic literature. And it was felt then that we need to encourage them to think critically. And thinking critically will mean that they are able to identify in a test that they are given what are the key arguments, what are the constituent point elements of an argument, and that require them to either think of recognizing assumptions, recognizing interpretation, being able to weight an argument and see the strength of an argument based on the evidence provided to support the claim. It's not often easy activity to do because that required them to shift the way and they were taught back home. And the key point is that they have to use their own intellectual ability to actually question what they are reading. And that is not often easy because back home, either they see the lecturer, the professor as authority that they can challenge, and therefore, when they are reading a research paper, they think that they cannot challenge the research paper. And here you have to teach them then how you do that, clearly by respecting the author who wrote the paper, but focusing mainly on actually challenging the idea, find out the weaknesses in the paper. So that's the aim of the critical thinking section that we have with the student.
And this gives them an emotional challenge as well, because you're talking about really changing their perception of learning.
The assignments are not based on memory. They are based on questions that require the student to go and think about what others have done, where the gaps are. And therefore, that put them in, I don't know, in a position of challenging their own belief, their own assumptions, and hence also, you know, even though the doubts their own culture, if, you know, the culture was actually really helping them to learn, and why there are different techniques to learn which are different from the one they'd received back home. I think I can use the word frustration to qualify what they go through, because it's always difficult the first few months to... I think that there are stages. You could see that there are frustration and the kind of enjoyment, and again, when the paper are getting difficult, you have this frustration again. And the only time actually they recognize that they've learned something is at the end of the program, where they could knock on your door and say, thank you very much, I think now I'm learning. Maybe that is not acceptable in their country, and they feel that they can't, you know, go back to make the transformation.
Is that a good result? Can we be proud of that?
I don't know. But I think over the last 7 to 9 years, I have taught, you know, more than probably 100, 200 Chinese students. I hope most of them return back home, and something would have, you know, been... we don't have a critical mass yet, but I think some of them probably return to education, and I'm sure that they'll be making... I always say to them, you can't change China, but you can change a few people around you. So maybe it's possible, and you can't change India as either.
And now let's hear from Guan Kan Li from China about his experience of working in a multicultural group. I was certainly surprised to learn that this intensive seminar in Lithuania was Li's first experience of a truly multicultural educational setting. Didn't he have that in Edinburgh, I wondered. So how about this project then? What's your impression of the project? You've been thrown into a group of 35 or so people from lots of different, mainly European countries, and you're having to work together. How has that been?
I think this is a very great opportunity for me, because this I always say that this is the first time for myself to totally get involved in Western culture and know what Western culture looks like.
Really? So you spent all this time in Edinburgh, and you're saying that this is the first time that you've immersed yourself. And that's because back in Edinburgh, so many are Chinese.
Yes, there's a Chinese society there.
So how has it been here? Which workshop are you in, for example?
Marketing communication.
Yeah.
I can see the difference between culture, and I can see... I'm thinking in one way, they're thinking in another way. Sometimes I try to miss their thinkings and make sure we can work on the same object and finish the task. This, and also just now before the student conference last week, I have to work with our UK group members. And then during this cooperation, I also found that For me, I want to finish all the tasks at the very beginning time and then go to happy, go to party. But then, in their opinion, they want to have a party first and then have study. This may us have some arguments.
Yes, I can see that would give rise to some conflict, especially if it's group-based work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when I want to study, they say, oh, come on, go to party, please. And then when they finish their party, they want to study. Okay, come on, it's 2 o'clock now, I want to sleep.
Next, I spoke to Duanjam Suapong, or Mo for short, from Thailand, about the benefits of the intensive program for him in his later work at the Ministry of Education.
Well, my name is Mo. I'm from Thailand and I'm doing MSc education at University of Edinburgh.
So what about the approach to teaching and the expectations on you as a student? Is that more or less the same as when you were in Thailand?
Well, I have to admit that it's much better than in Thailand because, how to say, the skill of teaching, of teacher, is much better than university teacher, lecturer in my country. And other thing is they give us a very useful feedback all the time. So that is the thing I like here.
So what are you gaining from this project?
This project, one thing is the culture different. This is the most, notable aspect that I gained from here. We have to adapt ourselves to local people and students from other countries with some don't speak English and Lithuanian, which has a very, very tradition and culture that is different from other European countries.
So what sort of adaptations are you talking about?
For example, when we discuss in the workshop, sometimes it doesn't happen to us, just like language barrier, because the range of vocabulary of each one is not the same level. Maybe when you say something is quite specific, you have to explain it with an easier word.
So what will you take away from this project when you go back to Edinburgh? What will be your lasting memory?
The life here is awesome, you know, because when I was in Edinburgh, always study, but here we both study and we party together. Another thing, I gained a contact from professor from different university. As I mentioned before we start the interview, my dissertation is related to management and business area, which is quite new for me. Maybe I can ask them for some suggestion for my dissertation in the future.
So you've made some good contacts.
I make a lot of contact here.
That's good. Extending your network is certainly a useful entrepreneurial skill. My final interview was with Hassan Idi, a teacher trainer from Tanzania, who found that the communal living aspect of the project reminded him of life in Tanzania much more than in Edinburgh, where he is currently studying for his master's.
Different characteristics, I can say. So you find people with different values, but no way out. You have to accept them. You have to stay with them. You have to live with them. I don't drink, I don't smoke, but my roommate smokes, my roommate drinks. So, you know, different values, different characteristics. So the project, you can say, is good. And I've learned lots of things to live with people who have different values with you.
What will you be taking back from this project? Are there any concrete things?
I will take back lots of things. The first thing, the experience that I've got here, and I would like also I wish to participate in more projects like this, because I've got lots of experience here, living with people, you know, what we are doing here is what we are, is what actually is happening in Tanzania. You know, it's a communal life in Tanzania. You meet with people every day. Mm-hmm. You discuss with people lots of things. It's unlike in Edinburgh, where you greet people by showing teeth, but here you discuss with people.
Mm.
You spend more time greetings, talking, discussing about issues.
Mm.
You know, so the experience here reflects my lifestyle in Tanzania.
Yeah.
So this is good, I can say. So I was a little bit, for 2 weeks, I was happy. And also, you know, the time difference between Lithuania and Tanzania is the same.
Oh,
it's,
I see.
The same. So I thought, oh my God, I'm in Tanzania. So the experience, and you know, and I have, though it's not a representative, I can say, because I've known people from Spain, from Portugal.
Mm.
So though they are not more than 6 students and teachers, but what I've seen from them give me a real picture of what people from different countries look like.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I can explain about Portugal, I can explain about Czech, about Hungary, about,
yeah,
Spain. So I know a little bit through this project,
yeah,
about these countries. Yeah.
So far, we've heard a lot of good things about the Receive project, but there were also a few challenges. For example, the group visited Holocaust memorial museums while in Lithuania, and that led to a discussion about genocide and a question about whether China's one-child policy could also be classed as genocide. For Lee, whom we heard from earlier, this was a problem, as he explains here.
And here also another thing bring to me is that I found that now the rest of the world still maybe have some misunderstanding of China. This,
mm-hmm,
this just like the discussion about one child policy in the,
mm-hmm,
in the presentation. But I don't know how to solve this problem, because maybe when Chinese government want to say something, the rest of the world will say, okay, you are lying.
Oh, yeah. I see, because there's this negative around the one-child policy,
yeah,
that when the Chinese government want to talk about something else, that people will have this in their minds.
Yes.
I see, yes, yes.
Yeah, maybe I think Chinese government should think more things how to improve their symbol of China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to market themselves.
Yes.
More.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And that wasn't the only challenge. In my own workshop, where we were constructing the project website, we suddenly noticed, after about 4 days of work, that all the personal photos on the website were of males. This was quite a shocking realisation, given that the group is 50-50 male and female, and it led us to review all the photos on the website, as well as discussing how this could have happened. In fact, it wasn't just about photos. You may have noticed that all my interviewees in this podcast were also male. So, lots of food for thought. The next show will be coming to you from Germany on December the 7th from Laurent Borgmann. Before that, if you're interested in following up the cross-border entrepreneurial theme, you can join me in the free online Global Education Conference on Monday the 12th of November at 1800 GMT, when I'll be showing a way of helping interns make more of their foreign posting through online skills training. All the details and links will be on our blog at absolutely-intercultural.com, as well as on our Facebook page. And finally, don't forget that if you're interested in following up any aspect of intercultural communication, we've put together a collection of books, old and new, theory and practical, in the Absolutely Intercultural Amazon bookstore. You don't pay any extra, but we do get a small contribution to help continue pay the expenses of the podcast. Now that the northern nights are drawing in, a book may be just what you need. So stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.